Amen. Thank you. Am I on? You can hear me. Jolly good. Thank you to all of you who've been leading worship this morning. Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all this morning. This morning we're looking at another one of the gifts, and this one is a slightly more unusual one, and it's the gift of tongues, the gift of different language that God gives us and interpretation that can come with it. And for some this might be something that you are familiar with, that you use. For others you might know a little bit about it. For some you might not know anything and be a little bit wary of it, and that's all okay. Hopefully through this morning I'm hoping to take you through what the Bible says about this gift and why God gave it, why is it part of the gifts, and how we can use it in appropriate ways. So let's start at the beginning. And what is it? What is speaking in tongues? Well, the gift of tongues is a gift. It's a spiritual gift that is given to individuals. And it's a means of us speaking to God from our spirit. So it kind of bypasses our mind. And it's a language which can be either human in form or angelic. Paul talks about speaking in tongues of men or of angels. So we recognize from that it can be either of those. And the use of it, the point of it is that it edifies us. It builds us up. It's a way of praying that encourages our own prayer life. And when it's used with the gift of interpretation, it can edify those in the wider body as well. So basically, it's a way of communicating with God from our spirit, expressing our heart to him whilst bypassing the mind. Now, some people think that when you receive this gift, that somehow some weird thing happens to you and the Holy Spirit takes over your mouth and starts to speak through you. And it's not like that. It's a way that we have to work with the Holy Spirit. We have to choose, just as we have to choose to talk or to pray out loud, to open our mouth. So when he gives us the gift, we have to choose to open our mouth and begin to speak it out. And at first, when we have this, it may just be that we get a few words, very, very simple words. It's like learning a new language. But then gradually as we use it, it increases. And then sometimes God will give us a different tongue for different situations or a different language for different situations. And just to briefly give you a little bit of my testimony on this before we look at the Bible and what it says about it. But just this was quite amusing in one respect. I was brought up in Church of Scotland, which for those of you who know, it's very traditional, particularly the church I was in. So it was the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible, and the Holy Spirit really didn't get a look in. So anything to do with gifting was never mentioned, never looked at. Everybody stayed away because they were quite fearful of it. Because sometimes when we look at the Holy Spirit, we can look on and think it gets a bit scary. If we let the Holy Spirit in and to start doing things in our lives, we start doing weird things. But anyway, I was part of this church, and I had, in our YF, we'd been at different events where we'd had opportunity to meet with different people, and I was getting introduced to the different gifts and to this gift of speaking in tongues. And something in me really wanted it, really desired it. And I prayed about it quite a lot. But God, I thought, but I don't know what this is really for. I don't know how to receive the gift, but something in me really felt it was right to keep asking God about it. And in our town, we had this guy called Joseph. And Joseph was a hairdresser. Now, Joseph, if you wanted your haircut, everybody went to Joseph. He was the person to go to. He was renowned. If you wanted a good haircut, and you could tell a Joseph haircut, you could see them a mile off. But this guy loved the Lord. So when he had people sitting in that seat, and he had his scissors in his hand, he would use every opportunity to speak about Jesus. So people went, do we go to Joseph or do we not? Because we're going to hear all about God again. But on the other hand, he does a really good haircut. So it was this weighing up of what people wanted to do. Thankfully, at that point, I was a Christian. So actually, I was quite happy to sit there. But then he was challenging me about where I was at with God and about the gifts of the Spirit. And what did I think about it all? And I'm like, I don't know when you've got scissors in your hand near my head. But anyway, he invited us, along with our YF, to go to his church. So we went along one night, and it was quite a radical church. But the people loved the Lord, and they had opportunity to at the end, for those who wanted to receive the Spirit and to speak in tongues. And I very tentatively put my hand up, and these people came and prayed. And it was a really amazing experience of just allowing the Holy Spirit to come. And I had to choose to open my mouth and to begin to speak. But as I did, God filled it, and he gave me the words. And all I had was a phrase for quite a few weeks and months. That's all I had. And I thought, have I just made this up? Because that's in your mind kicks in going, I'm just making this up. This is just me. However, a good friend of mine I met with, and you also spoke in tongues, and we were praying one day, and we both began to speak in tongues together. And actually, she had the same tongue. And I'm like, I've not made it up. This is real. It's true. And it's exciting, but it's something that helps us engage in our spirit with the Lord when our own words fail us. And we'll look a bit more about that in the a bit further down. But let's look at what the Bible says. It's first introduced to us. Jesus talks about it just before he's about to go back to heaven. Now you think about all the things that he could be saying to the disciples. And then this is what he says. He says, just before he goes into heaven, he tells his disciples to go into the world and preach the good news to all creation. And he says, one of the signs that will accompany those who believe will be the gift of speaking in tongues. And the first time it's recorded is at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all the disciples. And we see it here in Acts. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And it says they were utterly amazed. See, they knew that these men were just ordinary men. They were from Galilee. Who were they? And yet they all began to speak in various tongues and various languages so that everybody that was there understood. And what that points to is not how amazing these men were. They knew that the men weren't amazing. It pointed to God. It was showing God's presence in that time. It was a sign of God's presence with them. And slightly further on in Acts, we see Peter, who is prompted by God to go to the house of a Gentile. He goes to see this guy. And when he's with him, it's quite interesting because at that point, the Jews and the Gentiles did not associate, because the Jews did not think that the gospel was for the Gentiles. They were absolutely not part of it. So it was quite a big thing for Peter to be told to go to the house of Cornelius when actually he was a Gentile. Why do you want me to go there, God? But he goes. And it says that those that went with him were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit was being poured out on the Gentiles. And how did they know? It says, for they heard them, the Gentiles, speaking in tongues and praising God. So here we see the gift of tongues serving to endorse the inclusion of Gentiles in the gospel message. And on both these occasions and others that are documented in Acts, the gift of tongues came with an outpouring of the baptism of the Spirit. However, please note, not everyone who is filled with the Spirit will speak in tongues. And Paul talks about this. In 1 Corinthians 12, he says God has appointed apostles, he's appointed prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, those with gifts of healing, helps, administration, speaking in tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracle? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And basically he's inferring, no, they don't. He says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. So this part, we see that Paul is saying that we'll all have different gifts. We're all part of the body, but we're all given different gifts. And later he says, I would love everyone to speak in tongues, because he knew the benefit of it. But he said, I would rather that you prophesy. Paul recognizes tongues is an amazing gift that God gives us. But the gift of prophecy, when we prophesy, everybody understands it. If you speak in tongues, not everybody does, unless there's an interpretation, unless it's used in that way in the church setting. And Paul talks about speaking in tongues and many other gifts of the Spirit in two chapters in 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, he speaks a lot about the different gifts. And he highlights the diversity of the body of Christ. He says, God's made us all different. We're not all one part of the same body. We're all various parts. He's given us all different abilities, different gifts, different talents. Each of us are made unique, but all made in his image. And he says, we're all part of this one body. And he stresses this whole thing about oneness, about the importance of recognizing we are one in Christ, the importance of unity, not uniformity, not as all being the same, but as all being united under the one head. And in the midst of these two chapters, chapter 13 kind of jumps in, and it's all about love. And you kind of think, well, what's that got to do with everything else? But what he's saying is, if we don't have love as the base of our whole relationship in Christ and with one another, it doesn't matter what gift we have, it's useless, it's pointless, because it has to be based, it has to be founded in love. And we have to rejoice with one another, rejoice in the different giftings. You know, we might desire a gift that we see in somebody else. Well, ask God for it. Don't be jealously wanting it. Ask God, but also be thankful for the God, for the gifts that God has given to each of you. We're all called as one body to serve under Christ. There's a man called Greg Haslam, and he describes the gifts of the Spirit like our Holy Spirit toolkit. And if you have, a tool belt around you, it's with you all the time. And he says some gifts are given to us that are like a possession. It's a possessional gift. And it's permanent. It's with us all the time. It's something that we can use. Or you see people that are very gifted in gifts of healing or gifts of mercy, and you see it operating a lot. And it's like it's in us. But he says sometimes God gives us gifts for a specific situation. And it's like when we come to the Lord, when we receive the Spirit, we've got a toolbox. Now, I've got a toolbox that lives out in my garage. I have got no idea really what's in it or how to use half of it, but I have one. But I know if I needed something, I could go and have a random look and see if I can find what I need. And there's something about God saying, I've given you each a toolbox. Because you are in Christ, because you are part of my body, you've got this toolbox. And when you need it, you can go and have a look, because I will have given you everything you need for every situation that you find yourself in. Mark 16 says, Jesus says, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. It says these signs accompany those who believe. It doesn't say it will accompany those who are holy or more mature or have this amazing faith. It says it's those who believe. If you believe, then these gifts are at your disposal. So do you believe? Because if you believe today, these gifts are at your disposal. Jesus showed us how to live. So he showed us by how he lived all the various gifts that are at our disposal to use. And his intention is that every believer can operate in these gifts at any time that we need them and in any place. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us spiritual gifts, but we have to pursue them. We have to take steps of faith to ask God for them, to use them, and to take that step at that moment when something happens to think, I'm going to take that step of faith to move into this. So going back to specifically looking at tongues, there are three main manifestations or uses of this gift. The first one, the main one, is to enhance our own private prayer life. 1 Corinthians 14 says, he who speaks in tongues edifies or builds himself up. Speaking in tongues can help us express ourselves when our spirit fails. So not when our spirit fails, but when our spirit wants to express something and the words don't come. It can be used as a means of prayer, intercession, praise. It can be a love language when one is lost in love and wonder and thanksgiving to God, and our words seem inadequate or exhausted. And tongues can express the desires of our spirit to God. Romans 8 says, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Paul Yonggi Cho said this. He said, sometimes I feel a burden of prayer, yet I may not know exactly what I should pray for, or I may not have exactly the words to express what I feel. This is the time when I enter my spiritual language and can pierce through my natural inability to articulate to God what I am feeling. And it's important to remember that at these moments that we must, because it's our spirit engaging, we must also engage our mind. Paul says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. We need to make sure that we focus our mind on Jesus when we're using this gift. I had a friend a few years ago who suffered a really severe stroke, and it left him with the inability to to speak in the sense that he couldn't remember what objects were. So you'd hold a mug up and he knew what it was for, but he couldn't name it. He'd lost the ability to name things in the English language. But the interesting thing was, and the thing that kept him going through it all was, he could still use his gift in tongues, and he would pray fluently in tongues. But when he tried to speak in English, he really, really struggled. But he said it was something that kept him alive during that time when he felt so isolated from everybody. But he had this constant lifeline with God, and for him it was such a blessing to have this gift. The second use of tongues is it can be a sign of God's presence. And we looked at this a little bit early when we talked about Pentecost and how we saw that the crowds that were gathered recognized the disciples speaking to them in their own tongue. And sometimes the tongues that we are given in various languages. And again, I was at a conference back in the 90s. We were hosting a John Wimber conference at our church. And John Wimber had a moment where he had everybody who wanted to receive the Spirit. We just had some quiet, and those that wanted to just stood, and he prayed for those to receive this gift of tongues. And I was kind of in the middle, and down on the right-hand side, there was a little bit of commotion going on. There was something odd happening. Not odd, but there was just something going on. And they went over to one of these ladies down there, and there was a group of ladies who were from Eastern European somewhere. I can't remember where they were from. But they had a translator with them because they couldn't understand what was being said. And they went over and they got one of the ladies on stage. And we're like, well, what are they doing? And this lady had been given the gift of tongues in English. And it was amazing to hear her. Just, it was a few words to begin with, but just her praising God when she had no English at all. And using these words to just praise the Lord and just say how amazing our God was. And it was just, you could see her spirit. Once you got over the nervousness of what we were all listening, and it was a little bit unusual doing that. But it was to encourage our faith to recognize that these gifts are given, but the languages, maybe in any language, but it was lovely to hear her speaking out in a language that we could understand. And the third use is for public worship. And it's when tongues is followed by an interpretation, so it's understood and edifies, builds up the body of Christ. Now, Paul does talk quite a lot about this in chapter 14, because the church in Corinth were misusing this gift. And quite a lot of them had received it, not all of them, but some of them had received it. And they were using it as a means in their services together. They were just speaking out really loudly, and really long kind of tongues were being over and over again, and then they were all kind of speaking together. It was just basically chaos. And Paul was like, that's not what it's about. And he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in tongues. And a bit earlier in the chapter, he says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. So the church were kind of had got a bit out of hand with this. And it's interesting, because sometimes when things in church get out of hand, we throw that thing out. We say, let's not go near it, because that could be dangerous. But Paul doesn't say that. He says, no, I don't want you to throw this out. There's a place for it, he says, but I want you to use tongues in an appropriate manner. And he says, if it doesn't build up the church, it shouldn't be happening. But how we use things, if they are used well and used to build up the body of Christ, he says, do it. And he brings in order. So he says, after speaking in tongues, make sure that you explain what's going on. Then wait for an interpretation. And that gives the credit to God. It shouldn't be something that we're then thinking, am I amazing that I can do that? If we do that in anything, it's wrong, because the glory should be going to God. And he says, this will build up both the believers and unbelievers. Because unbelievers would not necessarily know what's going on, but if they hear what's being translated, they'll be convinced of a spiritual reality and motivated to look further into the Christian faith. And Paul doesn't stop the church, as I said, he doesn't stop the church using it. And he says, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three at most, each in turn, and let one interpret. Interestingly, that the word interpret is used. And I don't know if you've thought about this, but it's interpreted rather than translated. Because what is shared afterwards is normally an expression of the heart of what's been shared. It's not a word-for-word explanation of what has been said in tongues. So often when you might hear a tongue and then somebody does an interpretation, I've often thought, gosh, that was a really long interpretation for a very short tongue. But it's somebody trying to express from their heart what has been said and what has been shared. And there may be times when, as a larger group, that we raise our voices and we praise God. And that's between us and God. And sometimes in that place, all of us, or lots of us, will also use this gift of tongues so that we can all address God together. And it doesn't need an interpretation in that place because all of us are just speaking to God. There's a writer called John Sherrill, and he wrote books you may recognize like God's Smuggler and The Hiding Place. And he describes his first experience of singing in tongues in a public meeting. And he says this, he says, as the music continued, several people began to sing in the spirit. And soon the whole room was singing in a complicated heavenly harmony, without score, created spontaneously. It was eerie, but extraordinarily beautiful. The song leader was no longer trying to direct the music, but let the melodies create themselves, without prompting. One quarter of the room would suddenly start to sing very loudly while others subsided. Harmonies and counterharmonies moved in and out of each other. You know, and when I think about that, I think, oh, I think they might have had a little taste of heaven. That sense of just what it's going to be like as we worship the Lord, and it's just going to happen in heaven. It's not all going to be orchestrated, but something, it will be an amazing kind of time of us all worshiping and harmonies. And I don't know, but I think it's just going to be an amazing time. And there may be times as well that you may recognize folks might be speaking in tongues, and it might be quietly, it might be as we're praying together, it might be as if you're receiving prayer that somebody will speak in tongues first and then pray for you. And part of that is just our way of engaging with the Spirit. And it kind of opens a door in the Spirit to say, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? This is my heart to you. And tongues is, from us, it's the gift that we have, but it's a way of us speaking to God. So it's not normally speaking out. That tends to be prophecy. But if it's speaking up to God, that's us just sharing our heart. And then in that kind of process, God begins to often reveal his heart. And sometimes when the gift of tongues is being used and is operating, other gifts flow from it. So often there'll be gifts of prophecy and other things that will happen at the same time. And Paul, he encourages us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. He says, in all kinds of prayers and requests, we shouldn't stop praying. In whatever way we do it, we should keep praying to God. And he talks about the spiritual battle that we're engaged in. And he looks at the church in Corinth, and he recognizes their need for the gifts of the Spirit. And actually, we need it too. We need God's gifts. You know, we can't just keep going on in our own strength, but we need all the gifts of the Spirit. And we have the same disadvantages and weaknesses as the church did in Corinth. We have the same challenges and maybe different challenges that they do. And it says only when Jesus returns will these gifts no longer be needed. Paul says, you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. We do not lack any spiritual gifts. It's important to remember that. And actually, when we feel that we're lacking, we ask. So how do we receive the gift of tongues, but also other gifts that the Lord may want to give to us? It starts with believing. We have to believe in God. We have to believe these gifts are for us. We have to believe that he wants to give us these gifts. And recognize he's a good father. He's a good father who wants to give good gifts to his children. We have to ask. Jesus says to ask, seek, and knock, to persist in prayer, to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Our persistence shows our desire. If you ask for something once and walk off, well, did you really want it? But if you persist in prayer and God sees your heart and sees actually that you want these gifts for his use, for him to use in you and through you, he will open the door and he will give you these gifts. The third thing we do is to have to step out. Maybe that we've got to ask somebody to pray for us. With the gift of tongues, we actually have to choose to open our mouth to begin to try and use the tongue that we feel that God's giving us. We have to trust the Holy Spirit. And there's times when we feel that, am I just going to look foolish as I step out in whatever of these gifts that we've been looking at? We can think, is this me or is it God? But God loves our heart when we try. He loves our faith when we say, God, I'm going to do it anyway because I trust you and I believe in you. And I'm doing this with the right heart. I'm doing it because I want to move into greater things in you. And I want to see you at work. I don't know about you, but you know, I've got a real heart to see more of God's kingdom come on earth. To see people that I see that are caught up in different aspects of life that they're struggling with, whether that's in church or outside. I'm longing to see God do the breakthrough. But I know it's not me. It's nothing that I can do. But it's him. But he wants to work through us. But we have to be in relationship with him for him to work through us. If we're separate from him and just wanting these things, it's not going to happen. We have to link with God and ask him to flow through us. Last night, as I was praying about it this morning, God gave me a picture, and it was a picture of a massive water wheel, and it was huge. And I was like, God, what's this about? And I just felt him saying, the water wheel accepts the water. It's like as the water falls from above or flows through the water wheel, it moves the wheel. But the water is then changed into a useful power that can be used in daily living. And I think we can get fearful of the Holy Spirit coming when we ask for the Holy Spirit to come because we kind of think, oh no, what's going to happen? But what he wants to do is equip us so that when we go out of this place, we have these gifts at our disposal to use, that we're confident about it, that we know who our God is. We may know that we're weak, but we know that he's strong. And I just felt this morning that that's what we needed to do, is just spend a little bit of time just waiting, just for a couple of minutes, and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And for each of us, just to be open, saying, God, I don't know what this may look like, but I want to receive your Holy Spirit because I want to go out in power through the week and see you change lives. And then we'll go on and maybe pray more specifically for folks that are just going to maybe want to receive the gift of tongues as well. But can I ask Scott and Sally and others just to come up? And I've just asked the band just to play really quietly, just as we're just going to, I'm just going to pray. And I just want us to just wait on God and see what he's beginning to say to us. For you not to listen to me, but to engage with God and see what he's saying on all these subjects and the different ones that we've looked at, the different gifts that we've looked at through the weeks of healing, of faith, of leadership, lots of different things. But these are gifts for us. But we have to ask for them. We have to receive them. We can't just say, well, that's nice. I don't have any of those. Have you asked? So let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you are this amazing God that gives good gifts to your children. We thank you, Jesus, when you went back to heaven, that it didn't stop there. But you gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit as our friend, as our counselor, as the one to empower us in different situations. And Holy Spirit, we just pray for your presence to come. Lord, would you open our minds and our hearts to you? Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come? Lord, you know our every need. You know the depth of us. You know all the things that are going on. You know our desires. You know the blockages. But Father, would your Spirit flow now in this room, I pray. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus. Father, I pray for your peace. Father, just where there are hearts that are in a bit of turmoil this morning, Lord, I pray for your peace. Father, I just sense that the river of your presence is here, and there's a sense of you want us just to come into that river, to go to a deeper place than where we've been before. And some of you may say, but I can't swim. No, but he can. And it's a river that brings refreshment. It's a river that as it flows, it takes away all the stuff that hangs on to us, all the stuff that we need to cleanse from. Holy Spirit, would your river flow in this place? Maybe struggles that we're holding on to. Father, would we release them in the flow of that river? I'm aware quite a lot of the kids will be coming back in now, but if you would like to receive more of the Holy Spirit, if you feel God is nudging you to receive this gift of tongues, we'd love to pray for you. And I'd ask if the prayer team are around, if they could come to the front, please. And if you already have this gift of tongues, I'd love you to pair up and come and join some of the prayer team to pray for others as well. So please, if you want this gift, if you are asking God for it, or maybe there's something else that's just on your heart that you're saying, I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to start moving in some of the other gifts that have been expressed. Can I ask you to come forward now so that we can pray for you? You know, that water wheel is a massive big water wheel that is just constantly flowing. But it's no good unless we come to it. It's no good if we don't come and immerse ourselves in that water. And I think often we can stand back and go, no, I don't need that. I've got enough. Thank you very much. But the something of God that this morning I think is yearning for us, just say, come and receive from me. I have so much more for you. Don't just stop with where you are. Recognize there's more that the Holy Spirit has. So please come forward. Thank you, Jesus.